Hi there, I'm Tom View. I'm Senior Vice President of Editorial with Information Security Media Group. I want to welcome you to today's discussion where the topic is the future of security awareness. My privilege to be speaking today with Theo Zafirakis. He's a CISO and professional services lead with Fortress Terra Nova Security. Theo, pleasure to talk with you again.
Hi, Tom. Glad to be here.
So let's talk about security awareness. How would you describe the current state of it?
All right. And the current state of cybersecurity awareness, as we'll notice, varies by organization, and especially by organization size. What we've noticed is that in the recent years that there's a higher awareness and the need for investment for cybersecurity. And we've seen organizations investing a lot more resources, buying services, hiring people. And including a lot more resources to do cybersecurity. That tends to happen in large organizations, a bit less in small organizations as they're trying to catch up. We also see organizations put more, I would say, comprehensive, all-inclusive security awareness programs. You know, they have established a certain level of maturity in cybersecurity, controls, procedures. Now they're starting to focus more on the human element, on the people. So, you know, they may have regular training instead of that just one time upon hiring, providing best practices, going down to specific procedures, like here are the instructions for reporting a phishing event, right? A lot of organizations did not communicate that in the past. So they're taking a lot more proactive and complete awareness programs in place. Also, with that, we can't forget the tools. Everybody's purchasing the latest and the greatest tools in place. With that comes the increased need for cybersecurity awareness. So we can't just be adopting two-factor authentication without explaining to our users the risks associated with two-factor and the different attack tactics that cybercriminals may use, using these tools. Because as we know, they adapt, right? The more technology that we use, the more targets that they have in place. And the other, I would say, element that plays a significant factor is the need for regulatory compliance. And there's a lot of new laws coming into place, especially for privacy, cybersecurity, across the globe. So that increases the need for organizations to implement cybersecurity awareness programs and educate their staff.
Well, Theo, I think you might have answered my next question. Why is awareness such a complex challenge for enterprises? I think you painted that picture.
Oh, yes. And the challenges are many, many, especially when we're talking about the large organizations that, you know, have the resources and investment, but maybe they struggle because they have a large and complex environment. They may not have full visibility on all their users. And also they are high value targets because they have a lot of data, a lot of resources, a lot of money. So for them, it's a bigger challenge. And also because they're dealing with users that have, I would say, a lot more different profiles and different profiles, different risk levels, different needs for training. Small organizations also may suffer because a lot of times they think they will not be the target. Maybe they think that we're too small to be targeted, but that is making them even more attractive targets because everybody has something that organizations, cyber criminal organizations are looking for. So we talked about the diverse audience. That's, you know, maybe an issue everywhere. Resource constraints is another issue. You know, cybersecurity awareness programs tend to fall off the priority list when we start cutting budgets. You know, awareness and training is one of the first things to go. Organizations also may suffer with being able to demonstrate the benefits of cybersecurity. Like, how do I demonstrate that it was because I trained my users that they did not click, therefore measuring the effectiveness of the program and justifying it, why we're asking users to spend 1 or 2 hours per year on training. And getting them to change their behavior also becomes very difficult, right? We could show them two messages and ask them which one is the phishing. Users will detect it, but when it comes down to a real life event, whenever we're distracted, right, we may not remember our training as much.
So Theo, here comes generative AI. How does that only add to this complexity?
Well, generative AI not only adds to the complexity in the terms of risks and threats, right? Advanced social engineering, malware creation, phishing scenarios that have been tailored to the audience, phishing over the phone, phishing via text with automated responses. So that increases the complexity because now we have to make our users be smarter than artificial intelligence and being able to detect when someone is a fake. Like, this is a fake audio of the president asking you to do something. Well, how am I supposed to know that when AI is becoming so much better because the business asks it to be better, right? So those are from a threat perspective, but the use of AI for just legitimate business purposes becomes a concern as well, right? We see organizations implementing policies completely banning AI until they're ready to adopt it, right? What are those acceptable use cases? You know, when is it okay to use AI within organizations? And what are the concerns around data privacy and data handling? You know, do we upload confidential or personal data on AI cloud, which is going to use it after to learn and become smarter, incorporating our data? Regulatory compliance is going to come as well around the AI, all right? So especially for federal agencies, governments have started putting places on when it's acceptable and not acceptable to use AI. And the employee interaction with AI, right? You know, we could tell them what you can and you cannot do, but at the end of the day, we know that, it's going to pique their interest. They're going to go out and use AI. So how can we provide them proper training on, how to securely use AI, taking into consideration privacy, ethics, right? And making sure that we have proper oversight on the use of AI.
Yeah, you introduced the conversation about threats. What would you say are the threats of greatest concern to organizations today? I'm thinking about APTs, certainly, zero days, third-party ecosystems, but what tops the list for you?
Well, third-party ecosystems, the one that you just mentioned, is a top priority for many organizations. We've seen through some statistics that a large number of organizations, or almost everyone, works with third parties, right? And they have potentially experienced an attack that has been originated from a third party. We've seen several clients where they've taken the time to sensitize and train their users on ransomware. But when it came in from a third party that no one was prepared for, right? Because this person had access to the next network, had access to the system. Well, how do we extend our cybersecurity awareness to those third parties? Organizations may be dealing with mature third parties where they may have a mature security program, but many others are dealing with smaller entities, smaller organizations that may not have such an investment in cybersecurity. So we see third-party risk, especially in the software product, application, technology supply chain, right, taking a high priority. The other point that you mentioned was the advanced persistent threats. You know, those are typically carried out by sophisticated attackers. They want to get a foothold on the network, on the systems, and they want to go undetected for as long as possible. We have even observed persistent threats that had taken a foothold, and they were patching the systems other vulnerabilities, so the administrator doesn't go in, right, and see something is going on. So, they were keeping their gate open and they were patching everything else. And that typically is done for, advanced reasons like corporate espionage, stealing data, intellectual property, in some cases causing damage, disruption, fraud, or financial threat. And they will use, the traditional methods, phishing, zero-day exploits, malware, social engineering. Getting in through the employees and the people of the organization has become the easiest way. Once they're in, they could do lateral movements, look at other applications, other systems that may have vulnerabilities, and get a foothold. And that's where organizations have to up their security program, especially with threat intelligence and exchanging information with their colleagues, their peers, cybersecurity groups, and even their governments in many cases, to know how to detect those indicators and prevent them. Obviously, proper network and system hygiene, patches, firewalls, and all your tools in place, but also cybersecurity awareness, right? Because we've noticed that the cyber criminals are going to use the human element to get in the door.
So Theo, we hear all the time about building a culture of security. So my question for you is, How does one build one that can last?
And when we talk about culture of security, we're talking about the ideas, the perceptions, you know, the feelings that individuals have about cybersecurity. And it's not just, you know, a technology or an IT thing. You know, we have to start from the top and with the executive leadership. We have to lead by example, and we have to be able to show that this is important across all levels of the organizations. Also, business areas have to take into consideration cybersecurity. You know, when we are you know, adopting new tools, new technologies, new business ventures or business ideas, well, let's think cybersecurity and the potential risks associated and explain those to our team who is responsible for software and system development. Say, these are the concerns that we have. Can you make sure the system that we put in place addresses those issues, addresses those risks? Also, a lot of organizations have an IT and a help desk department, right? People often call there when they have problems. Perfect opportunity to use that group as an awareness moment or an awareness point of view. You know, I call in because I had a virus, right? You know, take the time to explain to the user how did the virus get in? Did you go to a malicious website? Did you use a foreign USB key and so on? So there's education across all departments or levels. It's not just at the very end, right? We've been taking decisions from the very beginning, and those accumulate to the end users when they have to use the systems, they use the application, and we put the burden on them. Let's look at all levels of the organization.
I like how you say that, all departments, all levels, but it begs the question, who needs to be included in creating and sustaining a modern awareness program?
First is the learners, right? So the people and your audience have to be engaged, interested to learn. And also we've noticed that organizations are starting to expand with their training, right? It's not just the employees anymore. They're training their clients because the clients may have access to systems or data. They want to minimize the number of times their clients get breached or cause incidents. In the education sector, we see a lot of schools, universities, and colleges focus on their students. What better place to train the next future workforce, right, than the universities, right? They come out of school, they get a job, they know about cybersecurity even before they get in the workplace, right? And as we mentioned earlier, the third parties. But in order to reach those groups, the responsibility cannot fall just within the IT department, right? The IT department understands technology, understands cyber, understands risk. But when we want to change people's behaviors, well, we need a change management team and change management approach, right? How do we reach that ultimate goal? We need to have proper ambassadors within the different departments that not necessarily cybersecurity experts, but understand cybersecurity, but also understand the business. And they're able to act as a two-way communication channel between cyber and the business, explaining the benefits, explaining the risks. Marketing groups, marketing departments, communications departments are great at crafting, messages with impact, you know, that grab the attention of the audience. And if you have access to behavioral sciences and psychology trained individuals, those also could help. And don't forget a very critical component, which is your HR department or labor relations if you're dealing with a unionized environment, because now we are asking individuals to take some time away from their regular day to complete this training, right? They're not operational, so include those groups as well.
So Theo, what are the topics that need the most attention in 2024? I mean, I'm thinking right off the top of my head, AI is certainly one of those, phishing is one, but you tell me.
And we've seen from the request that we'll be getting from our own clients, right? They're asking, well, it's not just about best practices. Let's talk about the importance of cybersecurity. So we're adding additional messages to, you know, why do we need to have this cybersecurity aware culture? What does it mean to you? What does it mean to the future of our organization? What does it mean to the future of you having a job, right? So explaining those potential risks to the users and making them understand. AI, well, being able to detect those new levels of attacks using deepfakes, voice cloning, image cloning, right? So those becoming a lot more sophisticated. So the users have to know that there is a possibility that this hard to believe, difficult to believe message may not be true, Right, the proper use of AI tools, you know, like we talked about the, you know, the acceptable and secure use of these tools. What are the risks associated? Risks related to third parties. You know, as more users, more organizations are adopting multi-factor authentication, QR code threats, alternative login methods, and password managers. Right, you know. Passwords are being less used, but they are not going away yet. So we'll use them less often, but that means that we're not going to remember them when we need them, right? So password managers also becomes a topic of interest.
You know, how does one go about measuring the success of their program?
So to measure the success of the program, and it's a very important component because you have to understand, is your program effective? Where are the areas of improvement? And you could justify to the business leaders why you need to continue investing. And it's the program manager that has a responsibility to do that. We always recommend to our clients have an evaluation every 12 months, identify some metrics, right? What are, like, for example, my phishing simulation metrics? What am I looking at? Am I looking at click rates, password submission rates, open attachment rates? And also the positive side is reporting rates, how many people are taking time to report. The same way that it takes one click to infect a network, well, it takes one person to report it to avert a catastrophe because the SOC team has able to implement controls. So know where you're starting from, know where you want to go, and know where you are at any point in time by measuring that data. Then also you want to look at your training metrics, right? And your course completion and course success, because that will demonstrate whether your users are engaged with your training program. Are they interested? You know, do you start off strong? And as the time progresses, the participation drops. It means the users are losing interest, right? So you have to reverse that trend. And you could only do that by monitoring. Incident is also tracking your incidents as well is interesting, but you have to make sure that you capture the right data at the time of the incident to be able to identify, well, could I have I prevented this incident with proper training, right? Or did, you know, the impact of this incident was minimized because of proper training? So having this data and having those questions at the time that it happens. And then behavioral changes and indicators, those are a bit more difficult to track. You know, it may take some additional tools and technologies like user behavior analytics to see how users are conducting themselves on the internet and using technology. So those elements could help. And I think the last component that we would recommend is soliciting feedback from your users. You know, once they complete an activity or complete a training or once a year, get their input because now they're going to feel they're contributing. And if you make adjustments to the program based on their feedback, you know, they'll know that the voice is heard and that you're taking into consideration their needs into consideration when you're building your program.
Well, Theo, you've offered some excellent insight today. But what questions do our attendees need to be asking today about their own awareness programs, about their own cultures? What do they need to be taking measure of?
Well, we'll start by looking at your program itself and understanding is my program working? Is it engaging? Is it relevant to the audience? Do I have the right metrics in place, you know, to be able to demonstrate what we just talked about, right? You know, and are we communicating well to the users in a language that I understand? Are we communicating the proper risks, you know, are we just throwing out information for the sake of communicating to them? You could also check if your program is up to date with the latest trends that we talked about. Are you covering these new techniques? You know, you could hammer phishing year after year, but phishing tactics evolve, so evolve your training to cover those tactics as well, bring it up to date. Inclusivity as well. So we see a lot of requests about awareness training that's all inclusive, regional specific, right? You know, prop also to the language of the learner, especially when we're talking about cybersecurity concepts. It's better learned when the program is delivered in the native language of the learner. And also show that, look, even management is leading by example. It's not just the end users who's taking the training. Show participation rates of your managers to show that, look, everybody's doing the training. Not, you know, we're not expecting just for the users. We talked about feedback, so go back and check. Do you have a feedback mechanism that is incorporated? Do you have a regular cadence for collecting that feedback, verifying your program? And is your cybersecurity awareness program properly aligned with your cybersecurity strategy? Go back and review your strategy and align your strategic objectives with the human element and demonstrate how your awareness program supports your overall cybersecurity strategy.
Very good. Theo, one last question. Talk to me about Terra Nova Security. How are you helping your customers usher in this future of security awareness?
Well, we saw that the landscape of cybersecurity is changing and is going to continue to change. The cyber threats are going to become more challenging, more sophisticated to detect. So while the maybe large organizations have more resources for these threats, small organizations are becoming more aware, more interested. And that's where we come in. We could help organizations of all sizes and all sectors by putting emphasis on ongoing education, awareness, and teaching users best practices, but also helping them adopt that security-aware culture that is suitable to the risk profile for the organization. You know, not every organization has the same risk profile. Not every user has the same risk profile. So how do we put a program in place? We also help organizations by providing that annual Gone Fishing Tournament, right? This is an event that takes place in October where anyone, whether they're clients or not, could participate and provide a benchmark report. How do we compare to the industry? How we compare to the others? So this, the 2023 report is available for download on our website, but also you could register early for the next year's tournament.
Well said. Theo, I've enjoyed our conversation. Thank you so much for all you've shared today.
Thank you, Tom. Glad to be here.
Again, the topic is the future of security awareness. You've just heard from Theo Zafirakis, CISO, Professional Services Lead with Fortress, Terra Nova Security. For Information Security Media Group, I'm Tom Field. Thank you for giving us your time and attention today.